Welcome to All Fired Up. I'm Louise, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk all things anti-diet. Has diet culture got you in a fit of rage? Is the injustice of the beauty ideal getting your knickers in a twist? Does Fitspo make you want to spitspo? Are you ready to hurl if you hear one more weight loss tip? Are you ready to be mad, loud, and proud? Well, you've come to the right place. Let's get all fired up.
Welcome back, Diet Culture Dropouts, and thanks for joining me. I've got a really gobsmacking pile of diet culture bullshit for you today. And I know that last week I promised you that we would be doing part four of our series on the food addiction cult of bright line eating, but that episode it's not quite cooked. So I'm now going to bring you today a really amazing conversation with Leah V, a fat black Muslim model who is completely pissed off at the fashion industry's backflip on size and racial diversity. If you love us here on All Fired Up, please help us spread the word by going to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a really fiery five-star rating and a review. And of course, if you haven't yet subscribed to All Fired Up, make sure you do. Follow us so you don't miss out on a single rant as they drop down weekly. You don't want to miss out. The All Fired Up podcast is brought to you by the brand new Untrapped Academy. There's so much anti-diet information out there, and sometimes it's hard to find the time and the energy to digest everything. I created the Untrapped Academy to help overwhelmed anti-dieters get access to top-notch information, skills training, and support in really easy-to-digest 30-minute sessions. Every month, we bring you an inspiring speaker talk, a skills training session to help you get those anti-diet ideas into your own life, plus a support group. There's also an incredible private Facebook community where hundreds of friendly anti-dieters are ready to welcome and support you. All of our talks are recorded and they get put into our resource library so that you can access and watch them at your convenience. This resource library already has a really awesome set of talks from some inspiring anti-diet leaders, including Diane Bondi, Christy Harrison, Dr. Sabrina Strings, Reagan Chastain, Fiona Sutherland, Sophie Hagen, Chrissy King, E.K. Dauphin, Lacey J. Christie, Ashley Gillen, Dr. Fiona Willer, and Megan Crabb. And new talks are happening all the time. In August, we are really focusing our talks and our presentations on the theme of advocacy and sticking up for yourself in diet culture. So it's a really good month for you to come and join us. The Untrapped Academy is just the ultimate way to learn about anti-dieting in just really digestible, easy to consume, snack-sized pieces. And you're going to learn from a whole variety of wonderful teachers. So if you have struggled with food, your body, exercise, or if you've just had a gutful of diet culture's bullshit, come and join us. Even if you're new to the world of anti-dieting and looking for information or skills training and support, we can help you. And even if you're a seasoned anti-dieter, just wanting to keep up with the new developments in this ever-changing world, we are here for you. The Untrapped Academy is literally the biggest bargain on the internet. Your first month is just one Aussie dollar, and then you can choose from either a $15 a month plan or a $25 a month plan. There's a membership level for everyone. So if you've got clients, patients, friends, family members, colleagues, or anyone you think might benefit from joining us at the Untrapped Academy, please let them know about us. Head over to untrapped.com.au. Okay, let's get on with the show. So my guest today is Leah V. She is the first international plus-size Muslim model to go mainstream. She's also the author of Unashamed, Musings of a Fat Black Muslim. This autobiography speaks on so many topics: mental illness, body image, religion, and finally, overcoming life's obstacles by unapologetically coming into herself. Leah is terrific. And as a model, she has appeared in many high-profile campaigns such as UGG, yes, the beautiful boots, Dove, and Fitbit. It's awesome to see how people who look like Leah can appear in the mainstream world of fashion and advertising. But Spoiler alert, Leah is now just completely pissed off with the way the fashion and advertising industry has now seemingly backflipped on diversity. Let's dive in.
So, Leah V, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk some shit.
So, tell me what's firing you up at the moment.
I mean, as like a fat Black Muslim living in America, there's many things, but just to put it out there, but I'm fired up about being a token in the plus size modeling industry and how we've backtracked from the body positivity movement into the almond mom, heroin chic that's been trending on the internet. So that's what I'm fired up about.
This is, I'm immediately enraged. This is absolutely a cultural phenomenon, right? What the fuck is going on?
I'm confused.
I'm confused. So this is going to be great to unpack. What? So you have been a model and a fat Black Muslim model, right? And that's been like, obviously, you said you felt like a token.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I feel like with a lot of these brands during 2020, COVID happened, and then Black Lives Matter movement happened. I feel like at that time, companies had to save face some way. And so they were like, hey, Leah V, she's fat, Black, and Muslim. Let's bring her in as like the solo person in this campaign. And we've checked off the boxes, so we don't have to actually do the work. And
oh my
so
God.
When that kind of waned off, now work is dried up for me and I haven't really worked that much in like, I would say almost 2 years. Like I went from being like the top tier, all the companies, brands wanted to work with me to a desert. And yeah, I feel like I've been tokenized. Like I have been tokenized.
Yeah. There's no other word, right? That sucks. You're like stunning. This is like, we need diversity in the industry. We need to, you know, that phrase, you can't be what you can't see.
Ooh.
The visibility is so important, but you haven't worked. Are you serious? In 2 years?
Yeah, it slowed down beginning of 2021. 2022. Yeah, around 2023. It slowed down at the beginning of there. And I was like, oh, maybe it's just like a little rough patch. You know, sometimes models, influencers, creatives, we go through a little rough patch. And
yeah.
The rough patch went from 3 months to 6 months to 9 months. And I'm like, oh, so I think my career might be done. I wasn't ready to accept that the industry no longer had use for me. And I was so fired up. I was hurt. And I started pitching. I'm like, oh, maybe they just forgot that I was here. I started pitching and nothing, crickets. And I'm like, wow. So I'm no longer needed. Like you guys are done with your inclusion campaigns. Like you just want straight size. White women, small fats, you want people like that. You don't want people who are representing truly marginalized communities. Like you guys don't have a use for that anymore.
That's awful. That's just terrible. Do you have an agency? Did they help? What did they say about this?
I mean, well, agencies, you know, it's really hard for them to focus on like one particular model. Like a lot of the agencies that I was with have multiple like dozens, if not almost 50, 60 models that they represent. And the first one I dropped because I told them that they were not championing diversity. I was the only fat Black Muslim on their roster and they were never marketing me at all, never sending me out for gigs. And I'm just like, okay, how are you a worldwide agency, but you never send me out for anything? I'm not getting any casting calls. And they were like, oh, like, didn't want to say anything. And I was like, you guys have 3 months to figure something out. Cause I feel like I'm being like othered again. So I'm sure you're working hard for your other clients and not me. They did the same thing. And I was like, yeah, take me off. I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't think you guys care. And that's fine. I'm going to go do my own thing. Then my London agency dropped me after signing me after 3 months. They didn't even give me a chance to really get into the London market. They dropped me without really saying what it is. So now I have one agency that's like a medium agency. It's still in New York City and they do their best, but it's been hard.
That is brutal. So it's not just the companies, it's the actual agencies that are putting you on their books, but not really making any effort to change, like to put you forward.
That's terrible.
Because like the average consumer, like they don't know what they want until they see it.
Yeah.
And it's just not really fair for people like me when it's like I've done this for 10 years. Like I'm not, when I go on set, I'm professional. I do what I need to do. Like you can look at my portfolio. Like I've done this and I'm really good at it. Mm. And to be basically kind of flung off to the side like trash, it really hurts your confidence. It's like, okay, well, should I be dieting? Like, should I get the surgery that the models are getting so that I can be more marketable? Like, should I be bleaching my skin? Should I take off my hijab, you know, so I can be more marketable? And all these things you really think about when you're in this industry.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm glad you haven't done any of the above.
Yeah, I'm not like, I would rather pivot to another industry, which is what I'm trying to do, other than change myself to fit into this mold of standardized beauty. Like I've been through too much shit to get cut on or bleach something or do something drastic so other people can like me. Like I'm just, I have two masters. I'm too smart for that. I'm too educated for that. Like I'm too loud for that. Like I'm never, if I'm going to get something, it's going to be for me, not to fit into some fucking mold.
Yes, absolutely. Can't agree more. So you'd been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you would have kind of had that, the first few years, you would have had not very much uptick. No. And then a massive uptick during that brief and wonderful period of what felt like change.
Yeah. I think they had us all fooled. I'm like, oh, this is going to continue. It's going to be like more fat Black Muslim models. It's going to be more models in wheelchairs and more like models with natural hair and darker skin popping up. Like I thought that was like, okay, we've made it. We've turned the corner. Like people don't feel like they have to feed into toxic diet culture or fitting into this body type. And we just went 60 steps backwards and it's discouraging. It really is.
Why do you think that it pivoted? What do you think the change has been? You said heroin chic.
Yeah, I'm a little bit older. So the TikTok, I'm still trying to figure out the TikTok. Okay. And so it came across, I think, started on TikTok and then like spilled over into Instagram. And I think Allure magazine or one of those like magazines like were like, oh, is this is a heroin chic back? Is the Almond Mom back, right? And I think Almond Mom is, I think, either Gwyneth Paltrow or Gigi Hadid's mom, who are both very much so fatphobic much so in the diet culture, both of them. And it came from them, the Almond Mom. Like, you know, if you're hungry, eat almond. Like, you know, the meal.
But not too many.
Right. Just a palm full of almonds will keep you satisfied throughout the day. And I looked at these articles and I'm like, wow, like we really have taken 60 step backs. Also New York Fashion Week. If you looked at the last 2 years, the diversity of color diversity and size diversity has literally went backwards.
Really?
Very rail thin models, the tall rail thin, you know, conventionally model-esque models versus like some of the plus size models they were having on the runway. It's like, we don't exist anymore. Like we were fixtures.
That actually sucks so much ass. It's revolting. Do you remember the Kim Kardashian doing horrible things to Marilyn Monroe's dress?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that kind of, because basically Kim, I'm not a Kardashian fan at all, but I hear through the grapevine and on the TikToks that it's the Kardashians shrinking down were also quite influential, I think, in creating this resurgence of quite thin ideals. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't follow them. Now, I will say I do follow Kourtney because I feel like she's hilarious. And out of all of them, she's like the more real one and had the less work done on her face. So I do follow Kourtney because Kourtney just does not care. She just wants to be vegan and she just wants to deal with her kids and Travis. That's it. So I keep up with her, but the rest of them, not so much. But they do have a lot of influence. They do have a lot of pull. Like when they have a dress on, it's sold out. Like when they do something with their lips, everyone wants their lips done.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they do have that. And like Kim and I think Khloe lost a shit ton of weight and took out implants and hip implants and butt implants and made themselves super. They shrank themselves. And so I definitely feel like that has something to do with it. but also just like society and just companies and brands just obsessed with this ideology of the female body and just always keeping that something that's unattainable.
Like, you know,
but this is what feeds into like that dream. Like the Victoria's Secret CEO was shaming fat women and shaming trans women and models, saying that nobody wants to see that. Like Victoria's Secret sales fantasy. And that's what we're going to keep fucking doing. And that's what he said. And people were like, oh my God. But this is what he was just saying, what everybody's thinking. We're selling fantasies. And people like me and people like you and your listeners who are just average, normal people who are trying to figure out what beauty looks like and what our worth looks like in this very social media obsessed world, we have an issue with like trying to figure out, okay, where does my body fit in? Like, yeah, my titties are sagging. You know, I have a lot of cellulite. Like, you know, something might be up with my skin. Like maybe my hair is thinning. We're trying to figure out just normal everyday stuff. And we're constantly being fed this fantasy.
Yeah. It's so depressing that like unattainable, like we want representation to be unattainable, which yeah, I think that's just disgusting and sad. And like, I think sometimes in revolutions, there's like a first push and then it goes back, like there's a backlash. And I think we're in a bit of a backlash to body positivity or representation of diversity and like normal people. Like diversity is having a bit of a pushback. And I think it's also pushed a bit by the arrival of this weight loss drug that everyone's not taking in Hollywood,
you know? The Ozempic.
yeah, I reckon that has something to do with it too. And then, you know, that just this giant, like even the medical system is getting overly excited about weight loss. So there's all these kind of factors going together, but the racial element is awful because that no one talks about that. Exactly. And the religion aspect, like seeing you is so important to so many people. Like I've got clients who are Muslim and who are in larger bodies and who are like, I can't get married. You know, in my culture, I'm told that if I don't, you know, if I'm not slim enough, I'm not going to find a husband. And then I'm basically not worth anything. So to see you like on a billboard is like so much more than just like, oh, that's a nice top. It's so much more than that.
And I think that's why like I am moving away from modeling and going more into TV film. Like I'm taking an improv class now and I took an acting class and I'm working with a producer with a script and doing a podcast because I don't want to be pigeonholed into this like plus size model thing. Like if this is how you guys are going to act after all the revolutions we've had, then I don't want any parts of it. And people are like, oh, like it's kind of selfish for you to leave because like you said, we need to see this image. But it's just like, I cannot do this at the detriment of my own self-esteem, of my own mental health. Because like, as usual, it was always the weight of everything on a Black woman. Mm-hmm. I don't think that when I say, okay, I kind of want to pivot, like, oh, that's selfish of you because you still have work to do and da da da. It's just like, honey, do you know what I've been through in this industry in the last decade? How many times I've been fat shamed on set, told to take off my hijab, given the most ugliest clothes while the other people have beautiful outfits, like me crying in the bathroom. Like, do you understand like how much I've been through behind the scenes for you to even say something like that to me? Mm-hmm. And so I've gotten a lot of that. And it's just like, I can still be present in other forms. I just don't wish to be a part of an industry anymore that thinks like that, the things like heroin chic or the almond mom or Kim Kardashian is like the body goal. I can't fight against a whole system. I've done my part. I've put in my work. It's time for the other girlies to come through with the revolution and I'm going to do mine in the way that I see fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that feels a bit more powerful. Cause I think models, like unless you're like one of the, I don't know, top three, but even then like models are controlled by agencies. And then photographers, and there's not a lot of implicit power for a model, but maybe in the film TV industry, gosh, honestly, you've got some courage to go into these industries.
I was trying not to do film TV. Like people have been telling me for like last decade, like, oh, like you would be a really good actress. And I'm like, I can't do that. They're like, why not? I'm like, well, I have IBS, first of all. So if I get nervous, I have to poop. And so, and like, it terrifies me, but it's just like, let's go for it. Like on the other side of fear is greatness. And like, I've learned that as a person who's like a fat Black Muslim divorced from Detroit, who's in her 30s at the height of her career, is unheard of. So if that was something that I leapt into, then I can leap into acting and film. And if I fucking fail, I tried. If I make some type of leeway, yes. If I hate it and pivot to being a doctor, then that's what I'll do. Life is short. We only have one. And so I'm really on that tip right now, like going into my mid-30s, mid to late 30s. I'm on that tip.
The unconditional support of yourself, no matter what you do, is lovely to hear. It's really lovely. So you've been through a lot, your story. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, just briefly, because it's a whole saga. Like, I think people look at me and they're like, oh, wow, like you've done so many things. But they only know the influencer part of Leah, not the Leah prior, the Leah V prior to that, when I was 19 years old, getting married and a horrific divorce 10 years later. They don't see that I stumbled through university level with a mentally ill mom, and how Islam was wound into that and religion was wound into mental illness, which are the two worst things to intertwine, is mental illness and religion.
Yeah.
And for people who know, that's listening, they know it is the worst thing ever. And it just comes very skewed and distorted and ridiculous. And so also being fat Muslim or a fat religious person in the community, and understanding that if you don't look like this way, then you're not going to get married if you don't lose this weight. I've been told many times, like, oh, you're going to have to lose some weight, you know, so you can find a man, like, you know, and get married. Like, that should be your top priority. And so it was a very interesting childhood growing up in Detroit. Like, it was not easy whatsoever. Now, I will say it wasn't the worst, because I've heard worse stories, but it was definitely challenging. And I found my voice through books and through words and stories. And so honestly, I have stories tattooed on my wrist. I have stories tattooed on my wrist because I am stories and stories are me. I am words and words are me. And it's literally saved my life. Like, I would not be sitting here without storytelling. And so, like, I think me doing film and TV or doing writing books and being a blogger, they call them back in the day bloggers. just being able to tell my story is empowering for me. And it helps me shed the weight of trauma. Mm-hmm. So I had a very interesting childhood, but I think I've done pretty well from what happened. So
yeah, I think it builds resilience in a way, you know, that not to kind of say that it's great to go through tough times, but I think like when a tree catches fire, like when a bush catches fire, that it grows back stronger, you know, that kind of just that. Because you can see how much you've been through and you can see how much it's spurring you forward, which is quite inspiring. How did, you know, from the aspect of diet culture's bullshit with the size thing, how did you reject that?
It took a long time.
Yeah.
Still having to. I feel like when people talk about like eating disorders and stuff like that, we always think about like very like anorexic people or very, very big people. They don't think about all the people in between who are normal weight, who have deal with diet culture. We all deal with toxic diet culture. Like every single person, like no one's safe from the diet culture, nobody. And so people need to understand it's not just the fat person thing or anorexic person thing. It's the everybody thing.
Yeah.
It permeates to everything. And so I was doing some really dangerous diets, the Atkins diet when I was younger and I lost 70 pounds, just very depressed, losing hair, having mood swings because I was hungry. So I went through that, and then I would have like little diets in between. And the moment where I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I think it was after Umteen's diet. I think I was like maybe mid 20s. I was just in the car and I had this epiphany. I think because my jeans, my stomach was like going over my jeans when I sat down. And I was just like, had a whole fit, like a whole fit in the car. I'm like, I need to go back on the brown rice diet because my stomach's over my jeans. And as I was sitting there having a hissy fit, because my ex was driving, and I was like, just thinking about something. I was like, what would it look like if you stopped doing that? Like, what would it look like if you were to be happy in the body you had right now, not the body you had 10 years ago, or the body you could have in the future, if only you did A, B, and C? What would it like logistically look like if you did that? And at that moment, I was like, okay, from here on out, I'm going to try to live my best life in the body I have right now. Regardless of what the ability is, regardless how it looks, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to work towards that every day. And I think at that moment, my mindset started to shift a little. And I did more research into the body positive movement. Because mind you, I didn't know anything about body positive, plus eating, plus size bloggers, plus size models, nothing. I'm coming from like...
That's just a thought that popped into your head. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was just so tired. I was like, why? I'm tired of being tired. You know, you have those moments where you're just tired of being tired. And I start doing research, and I stumbled upon the plus size model hashtag on Tumblr and on Instagram. And I'm like, whoa, there are big women with big boobs and big butts and big stomachs getting flown out, doing photo shoots, like living like a thin woman. And at that moment, like, I never went back. Like, I have my moment, but I never went back to like this, like Atkins diet, all that stuff. Like, I was like, no, because these women are living their best fucking lives and they are big. They look like me, like, and they are doing the damn thing. And I never went back. And that's the power of seeing yourself in image. That's the power of social media. Like, I know people shit on social media about it being toxic, and it is, but it's not toxic because human beings use it for those
comparisons. Like, if you put a feed through, you know, or you let stuff in that's full of people that don't look like you, you'll start to feel like shit. But if you curate it to fill it like with diversity, it's so amazing what happens.
Mm-hmm. Your whole mindset kind of changes from what you see and what you're being pelted with. And my whole mindset changed. And once you have ED, you will always have ED. Once you've been like, once diet culture has touched you, it will never not touch you. But it's like what we do with it after the fact, after knowing, like, you have to make a choice. Like, how do you want to react to this? How do you want to sift through this trauma of how you react to food?
Yeah. What do you do on a hard day?
As far as like when diet culture like really is pelting at me. Well, for the last 3 weeks, I've been pre-making my meals. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been helping me eat on a schedule.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was extremely helpful, because I'm like, yes, the meal prepping is very irritating. Very irritating to have to make all like 5 days worth of meals, and like, it's very irritating. But I noticed that I'm eating on schedule. I'm eating better.
Yeah,
getting all my vegetables in and stuff like that. Like, I'm having like less issues because I'm actually eating, and I don't feel bad. I'm eating normal food. I'm not starving myself, but it's like, yeah, I'm making my food and I'm gonna pop it in the microwave, and I like it. It's home cooked. I'm saving money, and so I'm feeling a lot better about me eating and not feeling bad like I was before. Like, I'm just gonna not eat all day and then eat a sandwich. Like, this is not proper, but like, again, this is diet culture. Oh, eat less, right?
Yeah. Diet culture is great. Though, skip breakfast, eat an almond. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I just like, okay, no, but you have to eat. And so I've been prepping, and like, I'm just like, I thought I would be irritated by it, but I'm not. Like, I'm making foods that I like, and I put it in my little Tupperware container. I pop it in and I'm eating. I'm eating breakfast, dinner, and I'm having
snack. What? That's an act of self-care. That is looking after yourself, because you care about your mental health and your physical health.
Exactly. And I don't feel like I'm not starving. I'm not having headaches. I'm not being weird. And so I think I'm on week 3. So and if I go out, I'm going to eat. I go with my friends. I'm going to have dinner with them. I'm going to, take my little meal. But I've been like doing it, and I'm doing it in a non-toxic way that doesn't feel like I'm going in the deep end of the pool of ED or toxic diet culture. I'm over here and I'm good. I'm floating. I'm not diving into the other end.
That's right. Regular eating because you want to nourish yourself and feel better is really different to like scheduled meal prep eating on some kind of diet. It's like, it's totally different ballpark. And that is a really good I think like a thing to anchor on, like when things get tough in diet culture, is to anchor back, like to find safety in regular eating. Mm-hmm. And like, it's okay. I've made myself this loving meal and it's there waiting for me. It's totally different to the kind of less is more always. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a lovely tip.
Yeah. It feels good to do it. I didn't think, but again, the prepping part, not so fun. But then you actually like cook less throughout the week because you already have your food.
Okay. So. Yeah. There's less washing up on most days of the week. Yeah. Doing the boring adult stuff of like self-care, like people talk on Instagram about self-care being like bubble baths and facials, but self-care is like doing the grocery shop
and washing up, like a shower.
Yeah. Brushing your teeth, flossing, like all the boring stuff.
Yeah. And it's amazing and it's great. It means you're alive and that you're a human being and that you're grown.
You're grown and that you can take really good care of yourself and that you're worth taking really good care of. Yes, yes. So tell us about your book that you wrote.
Well, I wrote many. Do you want me to talk about the memoir?
The memoir. Yeah. You are the story lady, aren't you? But the memoir. I have many
stories. But yeah, so Unashamed, Musings of a Fat Black Muslim came out in 2019. Unfortunately, we weren't able to market it because COVID hit. Ugh. And no one cared about my little book. They cared about not passing away. So, we can laugh about it now, but.
I know. What a disaster.
They were like, yeah, the world went on pause for well over 2 years. And so my book got caught in the shuffle of COVID and I am now trying to have a resurgence because I feel like people who are reading it send me messages and they're like, oh my God, our book club just read it. Mm-hmm. Iconic. We love it. Like, why is this not on the bestsellers list? Because like, this is some deep, raw shit. And I think being from a community that is fat, that is Black, that is Muslim, there's so many different marginalized identities in that. And I think a lot of voices like mine are usually silenced. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, a lot of voices like mine don't feel comfortable speaking to the outside world about their issues. So I am one of the most rawest ones that you'll meet who has made it to commercial and mainstream, who has been able to share my stories. Other people don't feel comfortable. And so when I wrote the memoir, it was out of pure angst. I was angry. Mm-hmm. I was upset from being divorced after 10 years and him cheating on me with a girl from Australia.
Rude.
Yeah. Cheating on me with her and then leaving me with nothing, no alimony, no nothing. And me having two masters and no job, having insurance or money for food and being left like that as a person who is 30 years old or close to 30. And having to reinvent themselves. And so I was mad at like white people for like bullying me at work and making me feel like I wasn't shit because I was Black or just saying crazy stuff that was racist to me. And I was mad at the Muslim community for like making me feel like I wasn't a good Muslim, that I was a hoe because I wanted to just wear colors and stuff like that. And so I was mad at every fucking body. And so instead of imploding and becoming my trauma, I decided to put all that into stories. And with each story, I would cry and take a nap, cry and take a nap, cry and take a nap, because it was so much to tell on not only myself, but the people who wronged me around me. And so the book is a testament to understanding that they're on the other side of greatness, on the other side of fear is greatness.
Yes,
and so it's a testament to like, you can be at the fucking bottom, but you can always pull yourself back up. And I'm not a, cliche person. But at the end, you'll see like what happened from the beginning. You're taking on this journey of life, of divorce and assault and abortion and mentally ill and religion. You'll see all that in those stories.
That's what we need. They're the best stories, right? And I think writing it out and sort of revisiting some real pain, but it kind of coming out, you kind of sort it out in a way. It's like therapy.
Yes.
And yeah. You reinterpret what happened and you realize it's not all your fault or whatever. That, yeah, and here you are, like, who knows what's going to happen next? Like, anything's possible for you.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I was never that person. I think some people can't see past their bubble. Mm-hmm. And now that I've seen so much, I feel enlightened that yeah, I have my days where I don't have hope, but on most days I have hope. And I understand that anything's possible. Like, and I really believe that I can envision myself on a red carpet for directing my own movie or television series and it getting picked up. Like, oh, yeah. That is something that is very possible for somebody like me and for other people if they try hard enough and they believe that they can do it.
You are so inspiring. So you can use all of that rage to make your life better and make the world a better place at the same time. Mm. It's terrific. Thank you so much. You've taken me on a journey of being completely fired up and now I'm just like really excited.
I love taking people on journeys. I'm the Holy Spirit.
I think we need to thank the modeling industry for sucking because it's going to give us whatever happens next.
Yes. Thank you, Marley Industry and Almond Mom. I appreciate you.
Yeah, you stay in your little almond corner and we'll go on to do great stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, what kind of a powerhouse is Leah V? Oh, it was such a great conversation. And I'm feeling really hopeful knowing that women like her are just hell-bent on transforming our entertainment industry. Go, Leah. And the modeling world just needs to pull itself together and stop with this almond mum thing and the weight loss drugs. Oh, look, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's show. And if you'd like to follow Leah as she takes on the world, you can find her at leahvernon.com or on Insta at lvernon2000. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to be back next week with the much anticipated final episode on our series on the food addiction cult of bright line eating. Take care till then and trust your body, think critically, push back against diet culture. Untrap from the crap.